Well, one of the reasons that we gather for a memorial service is to hear from the Lord and from His Word. And if you would take your Bible tonight and turn to Revelation chapter 22, the last book in the Bible. Now, I was thinking it'd be appropriate at the end of a precious physical life to look at the end of the precious Word of God. And the very last chapter, Revelation chapter 22, and the last words that the Lord Jesus gave to us in His precious Word, the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, and we'll start in verse number 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which were written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, I pray that in the next few moments you would speak through your word. And Lord, let me be a mouthpiece for you and say the things that ought to be said from this passage. And help us to understand these things, and may they be an encouragement and comfort to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, there are many interesting things in these final verses in God's Word, the Bible. Verse 18 is pretty interesting. It says, don't add to the Word of God. Some people will say they believe the Bible, but they'll add another book to it. Our Mormon friends will add the Book of Mormon. Well, this verse in verse 18 is pretty serious. It says, you better not add unto God's Word. You better not say anything is right there with God's Word alongside, because if so, God has a promise to you in a bad way that God will add the plague. So verse 18 is pretty interesting. Some people will add declarations by the head of their religion, and they'll put them right on par with the Bible. Some will add dreams or visions of a 700-foot Jesus. Okay, hey, don't do that. Don't add anything to God's Word. Verse 18 is pretty interesting. Verse 19 is a pretty interesting verse. Here it says, don't subtract from the Word of God. There are some people today who say, well, you know, the Old Testament isn't for us today. We'll be careful about that. Don't subtract from the Word of God. Some people say, well, the Gospels, that was just for when Jesus was on earth. Or Acts, you know, that's a transition time, and they just keep subtracting, and pretty soon all you got left is a few chapters that you can live by. No, God has given every word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so don't let people subtract from God's Word. Sometimes we subtract in a practical sense. We say, well, I know that's in the Bible, but I don't really want to live by that. And we subtract some things. Don't do that. God gives a warning about that in verse 19. It's pretty interesting. Verse 20. Boy, there's an interesting verse. Verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Jesus said, I'm coming again. It's not just a myth. It's not just something that people make Christian movies about. It really is in the Bible. Jesus said, He is coming quickly. And that means instantly. It could be at any time. We don't know when it is. It could be at any time. By the way, when people set dates, don't believe it. Jesus himself said, no man knows the day nor the hour. So don't get into that crazy kind of Christianity where they say it's going to be this week or it's going to be this year. No, Jesus said, nobody knows. Nobody knows. But it could be today. So verse 20 is wonderful. But I'll tell you, I'd like to take the rest of our time this evening and talk for a few minutes about verse number 17. Look down there again. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This has been kind of our theme for Brother Lloyd. Let us take the water of life freely. Let me talk first about the call. The call. It's very significant. The call is to come and take the water of life freely. Now, we're not just talking about regular water, like you see up here on this waterfall. Some of our young people just got back from camp in the mountains of North Carolina. And my son was one of those, and he got back to the house and he said, "You know what, Dad? Our water tastes terrible compared to that North Carolina mountain water. This Florida water just doesn't quite cut it, right?" But this isn't talking about regular water. It says take the water of life. The water of life. Taking the water of life is a phrase in the Bible that compares with this idea, becoming a real Christian. Or the Bible calls it being saved. Another term is being born again. It's not just the crazy TV preachers talking about born again. Okay, it really is in the Bible. Jesus said, if you're going to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. It's talking about a spiritual rebirth. And another phrase for that is taking the water of life, saying, I need to have this special water that will give me eternal life. In Revelation 22, this last chapter, look up at verse 1. It says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know, up in heaven where there's the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb, who knows who the Lamb is? Jesus Christ. Okay, up at his throne, there is a river, and it's called the river of life. And the river of life waters what's called the tree of life. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, God said, I have to send you out of the Garden of Eden because otherwise you will eat of the tree of life and you will continue to live forever. That was merciful of God because now that they had sinned, they were in a sinful condition. And to live forever in a sinful condition is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. The time came with Brother Lloyd where the family's prayers began to change. Instead of saying, Lord, heal them, they began to say, Lord, let him have a peaceful passing and help us and give us peace. And the Lord did it. The Lord did it. Because you know what? For a Christian, when you pass on, you go to heaven to be with the Lord and you get to drink of the river of the water of life. And I picture Lloyd up there right now partaking of the water of life and the tree of life and being with the Lord up in heaven. Why do you say that, preacher? You preachers at these services, you always put the guy in heaven no matter how wicked he was, you know. Hey, well, first of all, Lloyd, I don't know of anything wicked Lloyd did. I'm sure he did because we're all sinners. But I didn't think of him as a wicked person. But you know what? The truth is, all of us are wicked. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, a lot of people think that they can get to heaven by being good enough. They think, well, if my good outweighs my bad, if I'm maybe give money to the church or I do the sacraments or get confirmed or get baptized or do some other good things, if I do enough good things, the Lord will let me in. But the Bible says just the opposite. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And it makes sense if you think about it. If we could get to heaven by being good, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. A lot of people say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died on the cross and He was buried and he rose again. And I believe He died for our sins. But you still got to be good enough, preacher. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And it's not Jesus plus our works. It's Jesus plus nothing. Because if we're trusting Jesus plus our works, we're not really trusting Jesus. We're trusting ourselves. We're saying, I got to be good enough. I got to make it. We have to come to the point in our life when we understand that the good news of the gospel of Jesus is that He died so that your sins could be forgiven and mine too. And we could know for sure that we're on our way to heaven because it's not based on our own goodness. It's based on the fact that we've placed all of our trust in Him and in Him alone. And if you've come tonight and you're trusting something else, church membership, baptism, other good things, the golden rule, keeping the Ten Commandments, the list is endless of good things that we can trust. If you're trusting in those good things and not in Christ alone, Brother Lloyd Wilson up in heaven would right now tell you, trust Christ alone. It's worth it. It's worth it. Because if we trust ourselves, the truth is none of us will make it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God. What do you have to do to get a gift? Just receive it. If you pay for it, it's not a gift. Okay? If you have to earn it, it's not a gift. A gift is something that you simply receive. And just like a gift at Christmas, if somebody gives you a gift and you didn't get something for them, you're pretty embarrassed, aren't you? It's kind of humbling. Well, that's why some people will not receive the gift of God, Jesus Christ, and salvation. Because it's kind of humbling to say, Lord, I can't give you anything back in return. But it's a free gift. That's why the verse says, drink of the water of life freely. Freely. You can't pay for it. You can't pay for eternal life in heaven. You can't be good enough to earn it. I can't either. We have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't deserve it. I'm a sinner. But you died for me. And so right now I'm putting my trust in you. Now I did that when I was a 9-year-old boy. It's easy enough that a kid can understand it. I thought I was going to get to heaven by being good. And when they showed me this, I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm trusting myself. If I die in this condition, I'm not going to make it. And I remember the night, it was a Sunday night, like this, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't remember the exact words I said, but I called on the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just calling on Him for your grandma or calling on Him for somebody to recover, but calling on Him in a way that says, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven on my own. Jesus, You died for me, and I'm putting my trust in You alone. And when you call on the Lord like that, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not you might be, you will be. He'll take you all the way to heaven with Him. And there's no fear, there's no worry, there's peace in your heart because it's not based on your own good deeds. And I'll tell you, we got a lot of guests tonight, and I don't know what you've been taught, but I'm not just teaching what the Baptists say, I'm telling you what the Bible says. And you can believe it. Okay? And perhaps Lloyd Wilson's passing away could be the greatest thing that ever happened to you if you decide to put your trust in Christ and drink of the water of life freely. So it's a very significant call. I'd like you to see the scope of the call. It says here, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's available to you today. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to take a drink of this water of life. It's available to us today in a spiritual sense if we'll receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Jesus came, died, was buried, and rose again to give us life. Eternal life. In salvation. And then for those of you that have already received Christ, He wants to give you abundant life in sanctification. He wants your life to be special for Him. And that's why He saved you and didn't take you to heaven immediately. He left you on earth so you could be used in other people's lives. So I've seen with you tonight the call. He says, come and be saved. Come and receive Christ. Come and drink of the water of life freely. Something else in this verse is the callers. The callers. The people who are calling. Notice again in verse 17 it says, the Spirit and the Bride say come. First of all, the Spirit. That's God's Holy Spirit. He calls people who have not yet trusted Christ. The Bible calls them unbelievers. People who have not put all their trust in Christ. Sometimes it's not on purpose. They're just misled. Haven't seen it from the Bible like we're explaining it tonight. But they're unbelievers, according to the Bible. He calls them. Perhaps tonight, as I was explaining these things from the Bible, there's something in your heart saying, you know, I'd like to see that in the Bible. Is that really true, or is he just making that up? Man, that's different than I heard before. I maybe need to trust Christ. You know who's giving you those thoughts? It's God's Holy Spirit. And He calls people. That's what happened to me when I heard it. I just knew the Lord was calling, and He wanted me to be saved. And that's why I was getting to hear this good message. And I said, okay. And I remember that Sunday night, I stepped out of a church like this one, and they took me aside and showed me from the Bible, like we could do tonight, how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. They showed me, and I said, that's what I want to do. And I called on the Lord, and I was saved that night. If I go out here on Sumter or Price or 75 and get hit by a car, I know I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm good, not because I deserve it, but because I did what the Bible said about receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the Spirit is the one that calls you to that. And if you sense the Lord talking to your heart, respond to that and receive Christ tonight. The Spirit, and then it says the bride. The bride. Anybody know who the bride is? Yes, the church. Very good. The bride is talking about the church, not the organization, but the organism. The people who have received Christ as Savior are placed into what he calls his church. Now, a church is a local gathering in the Bible. When we're all gathered in heaven, then it'll be all the Christians all gathered together as the church, and they will be presented to Jesus as a bride. Ephesians chapter 5, I won't take time to read it, but it explains how all the Christians gathered together in heaven will be called the bride of Christ and will be presented to him as a spotless bride. Remember how wonderful it was on the day you got married? Remember when she walked in? You're like, whoa. And your heart starts thumping and you're like, there's my girl, right? Well, that's what the Lord wants to do. And he is preparing, just like that bride prepared, he's preparing his bride. He's getting all the people collected and saved so they can be part of what the Bible calls the bride of Christ. And the church says, come. The Holy Spirit says, come and be saved. And then the job of the church is to tell people, come and be saved. You say, why are you talking about this at a funeral? That's the job of the church. That's why the Lord left us here, to say, come and be saved and receive Christ. The bride says, come. Look down at verse 17 again. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. When I was 9, I heard. And now it's my obligation to say, come. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an obligation to tell other people, to say, hey, come to Christ and be saved. Here's what the Lord did for me. He'll do it for you. You have an obligation to tell others as well. Somebody says, well, why are you butting into my business? Because I care about you. Because I love you. Because somebody cared enough to show me. And I just want, if you don't want to say it, okay. Well, I'll be polite. But he that heareth is supposed to say, come. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway. And of some have compassion, making a difference. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He that heareth, those of you that have been saved, you ought to be telling other people. Then lastly, the call comes from the Spirit, the church, those that have heard. And then lastly, it says, let him that is athirst come. Few things in life are as strong as the pull of real deep thirst. Matter of fact, if I talk about it too long, some of you will be slipping out to get a drink of water. Thirst is a powerful thing. One day Jesus stood beside a well, and he was talking to a woman there who was unsaved, needed to be born again, needed to receive Christ as her Savior. And he told her, he said, whosoever drinketh of this water from the well will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Perhaps as you've listened to the preaching tonight, your thirst has been awakened. And you say, you know, I'd like to know, 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. If a person really can know from the Bible, that's what I'd like to know. A thirst for your soul's salvation. A thirst for peace, that your eternal destiny is a sure and settled issue. It was great to see the peace that Lloyd had as he faced cancer, the peace that Charlie and Stephanie and the kids had as they faced the physical death of their father and husband. But you know what? You can have that same peace, that same grace, because the last verse in the Bible says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.